We, in our studies together this summer, are considering a theme of beyond ordinary. That everyday people, such as us, can do extraordinary deeds because of Christ who lives in us. And we're looking at the life of Elijah as it unfolds in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, 19, and into 2 Kings. Because the scripture says concerning Elijah in the book of James chapter 5 that he was a man like us. But when he prayed, God answered. He experienced God at work in his life, accomplishing extraordinary deeds because of his faith in God. And my prayer is, as we study his life together, even as we have studied his life over the past couple of weeks, we would be moved to know the Lord our God as Elijah knew him and experience what it is to be just everyday people living extraordinary lives and having the opportunity to do something extraordinary in the life of someone else because of Christ in us. Today we come to a theme of extraordinary encouragement and turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, picking up the scripture at verse 8 and following in terms of the message. But I'm going to go back to chapter 17, verse 1, so that we have the whole story. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." And so he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called after her saying, "And please bring me a piece of bread." Now, picture this. She stops in her tracks, turns, and says to Elijah, "As surely the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Now, just pause for a moment and consider what's being said here. God had said to Elijah, "Now that the ravens are no longer bringing you meat and the brook has dried up, your source of water is gone, and there's famine in the land, I have appointed a widow there to supply you with food. And he gets there to find a widow with enough for one meal. That's it. So God is still testing Elijah, his servant. See, at the intersection of God's word and our life circumstances, there's a test. Wherever God's promise and our circumstances cross paths, there's a test. Will we trust God's word despite our circumstances? And that's where Laura was for nearly 8 years, intersecting life's paths with God's word from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that God had her future in his hands. As he does for Elijah and for you and me. Let's continue the reading of God's word. Verse 13, Elijah says to the woman, to the widow, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away, and she did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. And Elijah was used of God to give extraordinary encouragement to a woman who was living in extraordinary circumstances. No food left save one meal, and then we'll die. And from the example of Elijah, I would have us understand today that you and I, we each individually should encourage others to trust God. That's what Elijah was doing. He was encouraging this woman to trust God. And in this passage, I would highlight three reasons that you should be used of God to encourage others to trust him. And the first reason that you should encourage others to trust God is because God brings people and tests into your life. God brings people and tests into your life. God brought a widow. He brought a single mom into the life of Elijah, this woman from Zarephath in the region of Sidon. He brought her into Elijah's life. And just to picture this in terms of the map, we have Elijah, who was from Tishbe down here near Succoth, and he had gone over to the capital city of Samaria and announced to the king Ahab that there would be no longer rain in the land until God spoke the word. And then God instructed Elijah to go to the Kereth Ravine here, where the ravens gave him meat morning and evening, and the brook provided him water. Now the brook has dried up, and he goes all the way up into Phoenicia, to Zarephath, just south of Sidon, and God has told him that here is where he would find his provision. God said, "My provision for you for the remainder of this time of famine will be in a single mom, a widow with a son in Zarephath." And so he's up there. And God has provided, God has brought into Elijah's life a widow, a single mom, whom God says will be the one who provides for him during the remainder of the famine. But God has brought her into his life that he would encourage her as well. Because even as he brings Elijah into this widow's life at a crisis time in her own life, God has brought tests into Elijah's life to equip him to be an encourager to a woman who is prepared to bake her last meal and then die of starvation. You see, an encourager, and this applies to you and I, an encourager is one who has already experienced God's faithfulness. And so God has brought tests into Elijah's life to equip him to be an encourager to others because he has discovered God's faithfulness. There was the test of the ravens. Would Elijah allow God to provide him food to eat morning and evening from an unclean bird, bringing him unclean meat from a carcass? Would Elijah trust God to say that what I've provided you is clean, even though from all appearances it is unclean? God tested Elijah by the brook Cherith. When it dried up, what would he do? And now as he comes to Zarephath, maybe expecting, you know, a widow whose husband died and left her a fortune with cupboards full of exotic foods from all across the world. But no, he finds a widow preparing to cook her last meal. This too is a test for Elijah. I can almost know how I know how I would think. I would think, right, Lord, there's no widow here prepared to feed me for a day, much less 3 years. You made a mistake. Wrong widow. Where's the right widow? I would have, you know, said goodbye and said, enjoy your meal. There's got to be another widow in Zarephath for me. That rich one, you know. But no. God brought tests into Elijah's life to equip him as an encourager. And God used him in the life of the widow because he recognized that God had brought him here. This was the person that God had brought into his life. And though tested, he had found God faithful, and he would encourage her to trust God. Let me give you an illustration from the past in terms of a Christian woman who had to learn early in life to trust God. It was Fanny Crosby. God brought tests into Fanny Crosby's life to equip her to be an encourager all of her life. At 6 weeks of age, by the way, Fanny Crosby was born in 1820, and at 6 weeks of age, Fanny caught a cold and developed an inflammation in her eyes. And the doctors put a mustard poultice on her eyes to treat the discharge. As a result, her optic nerves were damaged and she was blinded. That same year, 6 months later, in November of 1820, Fanny's father, John Crosby, died. And so she was raised by her mother and her maternal grandmother. When she was 5 years of age, a medical doctor, Valentine Mott, examined Fanny and concluded that her condition was inoperable and irreversible. She was blind permanently, and all hopes of sight ended there. That was at the age of five. But at the age of 8 years old, Fanny Crosby wrote her first poem, and it would become the motto for her life. And it's you can find it in her first book published of poetry in 1844. At the age of 24, her first published work, a book of her poems. The first poem is A Blind Girl. And she says this: "Oh, what a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." As an adult, Fanny Crosby wrote concerning her blind condition, This was intended by the blessed providence of God, that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for this condition. If perfect earthly sight were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. For I might not have learned to sing and write hymns in the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. And so Fanny wrote over 8,000 hymns in her lifetime and countless numbers of poems. But God brought people into Fanny's life to encourage her, but also for her to be an encouragement too. And she recognized it. One day, Fanny Crosby was visiting a friend, a fellow musician, Phoebe Knapp. And Phoebe said, sit down, Fanny. I want to play a new melody for you. So Phoebe sat at the piano and played this new melody for Fanny, and then asked Fanny, what do you think? And Fanny's answer was, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So was birthed in 1873, first published, one of our great hymns. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And then Fanny said, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. A sightless woman could see because she had been given a test from God and found God faithful. And having been given a test by God and finding God's faithful, she was equipped to be an encourager of thousands, even to people today, as we shall soon see. But there is a second reason that we should trust God. There's a second reason we should encourage others to trust God. And that reason is that because God gives you his word and he gives you a story to share. He gives us people and a test to equip us for the ministry of encouragement, but he also gives us his word and a story to share. He gives us the resources to use in being an encouragement to others. You see, an encourager uses God's word to give another person a sure foundation in which to stand on in the midst of their crisis. Elijah had a word to share to this woman who had just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil to prepare a cake that would be her and her son's last meal. God had a word for her, and Elijah was the one to share it. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go home and do as you've said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me and from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Here's the word of God, the promise of God. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. And so now this woman is going to have to bring God's promise to bear at the intersection of her circumstances and choose either to trust or not trust God's word. But Elijah brings her a word to share. And counting the cost, the widow of Zarephath places the full weight of her future in God's hand. She gave up her last earthly meal in exchange for God's eternal word. And I don't think that it was without Elijah also sharing his story, though the text is silent on it. But I imagine that in her moment of doubt, in her moment of hesitation, Elijah was able to say to this widow of Zarephath, "Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." Now, this may sound crazy, but, you know, God has been feeding me for months from a raven who would bring me bread and meat morning and evening, and I had water to drink from a brook where God told me to go. And now God has told me to come here, and he's told me that you will be able to provide for yourself, your son, and for me for the duration of this family. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. So he had a word to share, but he also had a story of God's faithfulness to share. Years ago, as Laura shared her story back in 2008 after she lost her job, someone in this church family came alongside Laura and gave her a word from God, a promise from God. God has your future in his hands. Seek him with all your heart, and he'll make it known to you. And I imagine that person also shared a story of God's faithfulness, how God had proven himself faithful in their life as well. God gives you his word, and he gives you a story to share so that you can be an encourager to another. Modern day example. In 2015, Big Daddy Weave wrote a song, My Story. In June, this month, this year, Big Daddy Weave became a double amputee. And his family gathered around him in his hospital room as he has had both of his feet amputated because of an infection in his feet. And he says, "My story is really the story of what God has done." And the goodness of that is that it awakens things in other people. Our story is really just part of his story. And then he quotes Philippians 1:21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and that changes who we are. He says, when you connect with the fact that it's not in your power but in God's power that you face the circumstances that you're in, God has placed you in a context in which his beauty can shine. Our lives become an opportunity to give back to him what he's put in us. Beautiful offerings. We are walking out of the story of God in our lives every day. And so the song that he wrote says, if I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life that isn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. To tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you would hear the victory over the enemy. If I told you my story, you would hear freedom that has been won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life has overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of justice served where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. To tell you my story is to tell of him. And then he ends this composition. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. all the day long. Words written a century and a half earlier by Fanny Crosby. Encourage Big Daddy Weave as he lived out his story. God wants you and I to be encouragers of others in their time of crisis. And he's equipped us for this ministry. He has brought tests and people into our life. And he's given us his word of promise and a story to share. So let's share it. And the third reason that you and I should be encouragers, calling people to trust in God, is that God grows your faith, he grows my faith as we encourage others. The woman went away, verse 15, and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry. In keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. God is faithful all the time. He keeps his word. His promises are sure. When he tells us not to worry about the future, what we shall eat, what we shall wear, but to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and that he will provide everything that we need for life and godliness day by day, and provides us an open invitation to come into his presence when we're uncertain, when we're concerned, to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us, to come into his presence, to approach his throne of grace, and in our time of need, ask him for his grace and mercy to meet that need. He's faithful. He's faithful. George Mueller, as a young man, was a scoundrel. He learned to steal, gamble, and drink. And as a teenager, he learned how to stay in expensive hotels and then sneak out without paying the bill. But in time, he was caught and imprisoned. And prison did him little good. Upon his release, he continued to live the life of a criminal until one Saturday night in 1825 when he met Jesus. 10 years later, he was burdened by the Lord for orphans on the streets of Bristol. And he gave himself and his life 90 plus years to orphans. He started with 26 on April 11th, 1836. And he determined that he would never ask for funding. He would never ask for food. But that he would always record how God provided in answer to prayer. In his 93 years of life, Mueller housed more than 10,000 orphans, received millions of dollars in answer to prayer, and in his journal recorded 50,000 specific answers to prayer of how God had provided. The best known, most famous story of God's provision is of a time when the children were seated at the breakfast table, bowls in front of them, glasses and bowls empty, no serving bowls on the table, no food in the house. And Mueller led a prayer thanking God for their daily bread. And while he was praying, there was a knock at the door, and the baker greeted him and said, "Mr. Mueller, last night I could not sleep. I was awake at 2 a.m, and God put it on my heart that I should bake you some bread." Shortly after that, there was another knock at the door, and the milkman stood there, and the milkman's milk wagon had broken down in the street. And he said, "Could you use my milk? Because I need to unload my wagon so that I can lift it up and repair it." And so they had milk. That's just one of the stories of God's provision. See, when we give ourselves to using the tests in our life and accepting the people in our life as gifts from God, as opportunities to know God's faithfulness on one hand and share his faithfulness on another, we will be doubly blessed. Because as we come alongside people and share God's word, his promise, and share his story, what he's done for us, and we see other people trust him, we also become benefactors of encouragement. We share in the blessing too. Elijah literally shared in the flour and oil, unending supply of food for the duration of the famine. 10,000 orphans experienced God's faithfulness in answer to George Mueller's prayers and were encouraged to trust his God. Would we allow God to use ourselves to come alongside others and encourage them with the faithfulness of God that we have experienced in our lives? Closing questions. What's your story? We've heard Laura's. One moment or an 8-year chapter in her story. And we've heard what God has done for her. What's your story? What has God done for you? Second question, how has God used his word to encourage you? And third question, who in your life would you come alongside encourage with your story and your word? You might be saying, "I don't know who." Well, I'd invite you to take out your connection card and say on it, "I'm willing to visit. I'm willing to visit a widow, a widower, or a non-attending member of First Free." Now, you go prepared to share a verse of Scripture and your story of how God has used his word to encourage you, how God has proven himself faithful in your life. But then ask that person that you visit how God has shown himself faithful in their life as well, and you will be doubly blessed. Let's pray. And we close our service in the worship of giving as we close in worship. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people, grateful for who you are, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for the fact that you have given us many great and precious promises in your word, and you keep every one on behalf of your children who trust in you. And so we come to you this morning, Lord, with our need that we might find you faithful, and we offer ourselves to you as encouragers, that you would allow us the opportunity to come alongside someone else, to share our story, to share your word of promise and how you've shown yourself faithful in our lives, that we might both be the encourager and the encouraged. And we offer our gifts to you, Lord, this morning, that you might meet the needs of this church and those we've sent out in Jesus' name to bring the gospel to men and women and every nation. We offer these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.